gamers, and welcome to Game Warp. I'm your host, as always, Edward Jones, and joining me, of course, is my co-host, Miss Kim Love.
Hello.
Tonight we are looking at Katana Zero, a 2D action platformer developed by Akisoft and published by Devolver Digital, available for not only the Switch and Xbox One, but also Windows as well. This game being highlighted by Kim, because when it comes to independent gaming, she's got her finger really on the sort of the pulse of what's hip and interesting out there, compared to myself, whose finger is just way from the pulse and no doubt jammed somewhere else. But no, the game itself sees you playing a samurai in the modern world whose mysterious past is slowly revealed over the course of the game. The game itself combining many interesting elements from slow motion to the ability to deflect bullets and even play through levels on a almost constant loop. But Kim, I mean, when it came to Katana Zero, was this just sort of like an impulse find for us to like play this, or had you sort of got somewhere down the line before it came out?
Well, I had heard about it before, so it was really it was a game that I was a bit worried about, because I think it got announced at around the same time, or maybe even released at the same time of Celeste, which is a precise platformer. And this game looked a little demanding in that sense, where it felt like it was meant to be really difficult. And I guess in some ways it is. The game does really, I think about, you know, at a halfway point, it starts really stepping up in its kind of difficulty level, and you don't get to choose the difficulty level. So you get thrown in, and you just get to pick how you choose to progress in the level, right? Those games are always a little bit worrisome for me, because when you're talking about instant death and reflex, a big, heavy reliance on reflex, I'm not really good at that sometimes. So, I mean, I tried this game, and I was, you know, it was taking a chance, but I was really happy with how it turned out, because of just, you know, what, I mean, it has a kick-ass soundtrack, and there's a lot of little elements that really kind of gives it that atmosphere, even looking at, you know, that neo-noir metropolis that they create called New Mecca, and, you know, the double storyline of Subject Zero being in the first day, in the beginning of the day, where they go to get the assignment, where they start having this kind of like psychologist or psychiatrist that talks about the dreams or the nightmares or something, and it starts kind of unraveling as well at the same time.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, the story-wise, it's a lot deeper than you would expect, especially for a very retro-designed game. I mean, you look at this game and it looks like one of the old, 8-bit era sort of hack and slash, only this one's given a real glossy cover, because I don't think the 8-bit machines could do half the things this game could do. But despite this sort of like retro styling that we've seen many times before in like Hotline Miami and Broforce, and here again it just looks really, really nice. It doesn't limit itself by using a retro style. The world looks really nice, and it's really bright and colorful, and as you said already, the story only further brings this world to life. I mean, here we have this katana wielding assassin who basically looks like an out of place samurai who we only know as Subject Zero. He gets given assignments by his psychiatrist, who also gives him a drug called Chronos that allows him to slow down time and predict the future, which I guess is the game's way of explaining why every level you go to, you basically play through it, and then you get to see it play through in security footage. And I guess this is their way of saying, oh, this is how we predict the future by planning all these moves and whatnot. But the story itself, I mean, I was completely drawn in by this whole idea of this character who just suffers this reoccurring nightmare, and each time that you go to the psychiatrist, a new detail is unraveled. And you'll play this same dream over and over again, but details will slowly change. Who you are in the dream even changes at one point, which just is a real sort of one that pulls the rug out from you. So it's a lot deeper than you would think a game would be, just obviously looking at the surface details of this game, certainly.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because, you know, while, you know, that gives that extra level, because in essence, what this game really is a boss tower. You go through different levels, and your goal in every single day that goes by of, you know, we have a countdown of how many days is remaining. And every single day that passes by is a different person that you need to assassinate with a different background in a different setting. And I think that that's what really gives it that extra element also, because they're able to play with all these different ways of constructing a level, the level design for every single one, the demand that they want, whether it's stealth or whether it's like going through it, you know, trying to, you can kill all you want or try to not kill anyone or all those different things, and the different landscapes that you get as you're doing this really brings for that, you know, it really plays really well in that 2D side-scrolling element, and at the same time, it also gives you that kind of wacky little thing that works well with it. I mean, every single part, like, even when you get to the midpoint, you have this tower, and you have, where you have to go to different levels and get different, can't remember if it's key cards or keys.
Yeah, you've got to get, you've got to get these free key cards, but there's a, it basically involves you going to each level to get another key card.
Yeah, and that's really fun because, I mean, one level is kind of like has that roller coaster element, and then...
Yeah, it has the old mine carts from, like, Indiana Jones that you've got to randomly ride around in, so...
Yeah, so that's really fun, and then, you know, there's different elements that really play on using that slowing down the time, and... And that really, you know, all these things, it's all about how you balance every single thing that you use, right? And every single level can be used, it can be done in a different way. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, some of these levels I passed completely by chance. Like, it was just a good timing, and then it worked out.
Oh, definitely so. I mean, this is a game that would just absolutely beat you down given half a chance. And I couldn't help but compare it to, like, the likes of Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
This constant trial and error method of going through each level. And there is actually nothing better than when you actually, like, hit a level and you manage to do it first time. You just, like, completely dash through all your enemies, you know, timing all your slices and everything perfectly. And then get in to rewatch it back on the video feed at the end of each level, if you so wish. Whereas, compared to obviously with Meat Boy, where it has, like, the many, many meats that you've gone through to get to the end of a level, like, being shown in one go. This one just shows, like, CCTV footage of your character basically decimating the level of avoiding all these sort of traps and everything. So the fact that you only have, like, your samurai sword, and you can use the environment and objects that you can pick up and throw, I think really adds an interesting element. And it really sort of develops his character, even though the character's not having these very basic sort of sprites that we can see who they are. It still feels it adds so much to the character, the fact that they have this very sort of simple moveset that they have to use to outwit their opponents, and the fact that if you just screw up with something once, you're dead, and you have to go all the way back to the start. There's no, like, midway points with this game. Like, each level that you go to, you have to get it done the first time, otherwise you're going right back to the start, and that can be a little frustrating, especially when you encounter certain parts of a level where it seems like the timings have to be absolutely precise, like, you to avoid lasers, or there's particular tough villains who always seem to have the one step ahead of you.
Those
samurai men.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that, the character also has this extra element of, you know, obviously we're looking at this nightmare that they have, and then at the same time, he also has these assassin levels. But at the end of the day, he goes home, and he'll go back to the apartment, and then he has to drink his tea, and then he meets this little girl who likes to shit-talk him a lot. Gives him a really hard time, and it's just... And it's super cute, I think. Like, the whole sequence of how you can interact and get to choose how you interact with the little girl also. It's really, really cute, I think.
Oh, definitely so. I mean, it was one of the many elements that caught me completely off guard. I mean, the fact that you have these different options of how you handle dialogue. I mean, you can just skip ahead with the dialogue and just be really blunt with everyone, or you can try and structure your dialogue so that you come across a certain way. I mean, ultimately, it has no real sort of impact in the game for the most part, and everything, that it's just the one track that you're on. But I mean, it's kind of nice that when you see the little girl, you can have, like, this relationship that's kind of like Leon, where you can like just ignore her, or you can sort of like befriend her because her parents are just like junkies and just leave a land sitting out on the porch all day. So it's and then you have moments like you get sent this videotape by this this sort of psychopath called V, who sends you a video of him torturing your neighbors, and it's like, what the hell is this? it just constantly like catches your guard, like some of the moments in this this game, and especially when it comes to the level design, you're never sure, like, for one level to the next, what you're going to be going to.
Yeah,
it never sort of rests on its laurels.
I don't know about you, but one of my favorite levels was going to that nightclub.
And then DJ Electrohead.
Yeah, DJ Electrohead, and you had to go in, and I loved. Not only did I love the music of it, but it was just the fact that you had to stealth through that. So every time you stopped in the group of people, how Subject Zero would dance just cracked me up.
Yeah.
Oh man, I could just leave it there and just watch it, and I was, oh my god, it was so enjoyable.
I love as well the fact if you dored on a level, he just basically he comes up, he's like, that's too much to remember. It makes you start over. So you have to like just you, it's like it constantly keeps you moving. At the same time with these controls, while they're very responsive, I would not like to play this on the Switch. I do not feel that the Switch's sticks can really handle the abuse that you will put your controller through in this game. It's so precise, you have to sometimes snap your sticks to sort of like get the right sort of slash in, or to do the right move, or just have something in time. And I was like looking at the sticks and looking how thin those they are on the Switch, and especially how notorious the Switch is for having drift if you're a little too abusive on your control sticks. And now we're just thinking, yo, I'm just not going to put it through that. I'm just going to play this on the console instead. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, the game is, you know, in the beginning, it's not that bad. And I'm pretty happy about the way that it scales up on the difficulty.
Yes, because, of course.
You know, it is essentially a precision type of... not a platformer, I guess, but it is a precision, very heavily relying on precision. Because it's just everything, even the timing of when you hit one of the enemies or something. And, like, you have to time it exactly to when to deflect the bullet. Or when to, you know, cross through a laser or something. Everything needs to be timed perfectly. And it doesn't help that the game itself is so fast-paced, and the music and the soundtrack kind of gets you all nervous. So it's really fast-paced, really, really quick, right? So you feel that kind of, like, sometimes I feel like the level itself makes me feel like I don't time myself. It makes me rush through my moves, and a lot of times that's why I end up having to redo it, because I rush through it and I don't think it through, but... The game is really, like, in this mess of everything going on, you have to try and stay calm and remember to do things in precision. And I think that that's the hardest part of this game.
Yeah, I think definitely. So it's really sort of test your nerves there with how it plays through. And I agree that with yourself, there is a lot of precision in the game, but it's got a very good sense of fairness to it. So it never feels like it's trying to sort of cheat you or catch your guard. And the fact it also teaches you as you go along, much like with Meat Boy, it doesn't give you all the mechanics to start with. It slowly introduces mechanics, and if you keep dying on a certain bit, we actually come up with hints. It's like, you know, you can deflect bullets, you can slow down time. And I've seen people who play this who, like, they train themselves so that it's just completely reflex based, and they don't like using the slow down mode. They just prefer to do it completely off reflex, like just the slight noises and stuff. And I mean, yes, it's a real, so it adds an additional challenge there for yourself. But if you're, I don't know, like myself, and prefer to give yourself any sort of advantage you can in these situations, it's nice to also have that slowdown button there as well.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, I didn't realize there was a slowdown button until I got to halfway through the game. So I forgot about it completely. After the tutorial, I didn't think about it at all.
So you're doing better than I was.
So I went through half of the game, and I was playing it over and over again in the levels that were really hard, and just playing it solely without the slowdown. And then there was one part where it got to one of the levels in the, I don't remember if it was a mansion or whatever, a factory or something. And that was the part where there was one part where you couldn't, like, I felt like you couldn't not slow down time. Because if you didn't slow down time, there was no way you would have deflected a bullet, got through the laser, and then still got the enemy down. And that was the thing that really got me, where I had to really figure this out.
I'm just constantly surprised, like, just how in-depth this game is. I mean, on the surface, it looks so simple, and then you get, once you start getting into the game, it just constantly adds all these, like, new, exciting mechanics. Like, there's levels where you go into the background, and you, like, there's a one, I think it's like the second level, you go through a door, and you're basically back your way through the background, but you're, see your character just basically through the reflection in the glass, like hacking through different characters and stuff. So it never feels I love the fact it's never limited. It just constantly keeps things interesting and surprising. So it's a real credit to the game, because a lot of time we have these sort of games which use a retro style, and they just keep things pretty simple, or they do some flashy touches, but this one's actually constantly trying to do something new, even though the ending just feel a little bit of a letdown, I have to say. It just feels like it just kind of ends, and I think, I don't know if the plan is to obviously pick this up with a sequel, but certainly with any of the DLC, it doesn't seem to be planning on wrapping up or improving the ending of the story at all, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The game is really, you know, it is done really well. I mean, I think every single element of it, and just being able to, you know, like you said, add something new and kind of surprise you with just its level design and all that stuff. It's really well balanced too. So, you know, these games, sometimes you feel like it's trolling you a little. But this one definitely, like you said, it does feel pretty fair. You know, like everything is really, you know, it really feels like if you didn't pass that part, it's really your fault and not the game's. It's just you're not good enough, you know, type of deal. And I kind of appreciate games like that where, you know, there's different ways to approach it, and it's really using your own method, and everybody kind of can approach it in a different way. And I think that really adds to a kind of more personalized experience, right?
Yes, definitely so. And just obviously, just as we're talking now, I mean, I'm just obviously looking through the Devolver back catalogue here, and I just like constantly see all these like games that are just like absolutely sort of blown us away over the last few years and stuff. As I said, it's like Broforce in 2015, and obviously the many serious Sam games that they've done here. I mean, they also did My Friend Pedro, which I think is also really great as well. And if you own an Xbox or got access to the Xbox Game Pass, I mean, you can play this and you can play My Friend Pedro on there. And I think these are just like titles that just really make the Game Pass sort of like worth the money each month, because these are just little hidden treasures, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it would. I mean, I was really impressed by Carry On. I know it doesn't last long as a game concept, like a full game concept, but as, you know, like a beginning, more like the how it's designed and stuff like that, it actually works really well as a reverse horror. And I'm really happy, like, you know, Xbox Game Pass has a lot of these Devolver games, and there's a lot of little things in it which really stands out. I mean, the whole series, the whole three different games of Reigns and stuff like that, and they're all really fun. I mean, a lot of they are responsible for releasing a lot of indie treasures that has gotten quite some recognition over the past few years.
This is also the studio that gave us Genital Jousting as well, so I love the fact that they're happy to just come out with the most weirdest stuff, as well as some of these just really inventive titles that we've seen over the years. But yeah, Carry On, again, that was another fantastic game. I mean, if you listen back to our review of Inside and hear how I lamented that, you know, the ending of that game was really weird. When the game became the game I really wanted to play, and then they released Carry On, which is essentially just, you know, wish fulfillment, really. But yeah, Carry On, again, that's also in Game Pass as well, and definitely worth checking out as well. So, and not to mention, I mean, they also given us like everyone's favorite lockdown game, Fall Guys.
I still haven't. I still have yet to try it.
It's. I'm sort of hung on whether the bubble sort of burst for Fall Guys now, because it's kind of like any of these games, like what's the one the kids like, Fortnite and Overwatch. That, you know, they're fun when they initially start because nobody knows what they're doing, and then you have people who just like spend day and night just playing the same levels over and over again, just get really good, and it's sort of like it becomes a little less fun when you've got no chance of winning. So,
yeah, that's
but
true.
At least they're churning out the add-on packs for that, so at least it's trying to keep things on some sort of even keel there. If you don't mind yourself, Kim, but I think I'd just highly recommend checking out Katana Zero.
Ah, for sure. No, Katana Zero was a total surprise, I think. I mean, I'm usually not one to, you know, I was pretty hesitant to start it, but I really like that that kind of neo-noir world, that sort of, the colors they use is kind of like this, I don't know, what do you call it? Retro pink? I don't know what you call it.
It's got a real neon landscape.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it. It's neon. It's like a neon-noir.
Yeah. And it's very, very nice. Like, I really, really like that sort of element of it. The whole, you know, everything really comes together. Yeah, it's really hard. And, you know, I really felt like I got stuck a lot. But it really does, you know, it was a really, really fun game. And plus, I mean, if I could, I would buy that soundtrack. That soundtrack is great. I love every single moment of it.
I'd say just should really... Once we're finished here, we should go and check on Spotify, because Spotify's probably got it on there, knowing them, or on YouTube or something. But no, it is a really cool soundtrack, definitely. So
yeah, and I mean, every single level has its own soundtrack too. I don't think they repeated any of the soundtrack in any of the levels, and I think that's what kind of makes it really, really unique.
Yeah, definitely, and it also meant for such a, you know, clearly a retro soundtrack, it manages to perfectly capture each of these levels perfectly, so
yeah.
It's no easy skill to like create music with blips and blobs, but it's a lost art, but these guys are really sort of nailed it with this one. So
yeah, so but, yeah, so you know, on my side, definitely I'd highly recommend this one also. I mean, especially since it's available on Xbox Game Pass, it's you know, it's an extra incentive.
It is. It's a, you know, it's a retro style game full of a lot of charm and originality. And as you said, it's on Game Pass, so it makes it even more appealing a prospect. And I think when it comes to Game Pass, I think it's really been a great place for these sort of indie treasures to sort of shine, really. When we look at some of the titles that obviously come through over the since the launch of the Game Pass, and I think this again is just another shining example of just what the Game Pass can really offer gamers, especially because it gives a chance to sort of wander off the away from like the AAA titles and those bigger titles that we seem to be all focused on. It's sometimes fun to have something a little more pick up and play like this. So, well, that obviously brings us to the end of tonight's episode. Thank you as always for listening. If you haven't done already, please do hit the like and subscribe button wherever you happen to listen to us. Maybe leave us a comment, as it all helps raise the profile of the show. You can check out our archive of episodes and our reviews. You can follow us at gameworldblog.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well, where we post fun news stories and other interesting things as we find them. But that's all to check out there. But thank you for listening. Thank you to my co-host Kim, and we will be back next time. But until then, keep on gaming.